And Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus is it written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God. This is the word of the Lord. One summer night some years ago, I watched a hot air balloon launch at Lackawanna State Park. My kids were a good bit younger then, and a friend had called to tip us off. "You're all going to enjoy seeing this," she said, and indeed we did. Enjoyed it very much. We arrived just in time to hear the thunderous sound of hot air filling up those enormous balloons. The balloons began to inflate, then rise. The passenger baskets turned upright. The lines became taut. Pretty soon someone shouted, "He's off!" And we watched as the man in the basket began to rise into the sky. It was a thrilling sight. Now, I'm not afraid of heights much, but I do like having a solid floor beneath my feet. So I was a little envious of watching that man in the basket go higher and higher. He was leaving all his cares down here on the ground. He was being lifted above all our distress, going up and up. I think he must have been at that point 300 feet beyond reproach. Soon he was up even further. It was an amazing, dazzling, otherworldly sight. So, some people were discussing this passage that we've just heard from the very end of the Gospel of Luke. They thought it was going to end with the Easter story. They know about the Easter story. Everybody knows about Easter. But they had not realized the story then goes on a bit more. He was carried up into heaven, went up into the sky, says Luke. He ascended. One of the ladies in the discussion group said, "Well, I can't blame him." They all looked at her and said, "Well, why?" She said, "He got out of here as soon as he could." The group giggled a little bit, but she pushed her point. "Okay," she said, "I'll bet Jesus was in a hurry to go back to heaven. After all, don't forget how they treated him when he was here." Going up. Is it an escape? I remember James T. Kirk, commander of the Starship Enterprise. How many times did he say, "Beam me up, Scotty. There's no intelligent life down here." The lady in that group made it sound as if Jesus is talking the same way to God in heaven. "Get me out of here." And I had never, I confess, thought of the ascension in quite that way. We say the line from the Apostles' Creed almost every week, "He ascended into heaven." Is that intended to suggest an escape from the mud and the muck and the evil down here on the ground? In the past 180 years of Christian history in America, some people think so. 1830, a young woman, young Scottish lass named Margaret MacDonald had a vision or a dream or something. It was a dream about Jesus is coming back, but he's coming back in two stages. The first one is going to be quiet. And all the true Christians are just going to rise up into the air, disappear. Now, that's not in the Bible. But that didn't stop a preacher named Darby to go cherry picking a verse from here and this and come up with an elaborate plan of how to escape the evils of the world. It's going to fly up into the sky with Jesus. It's a notion that's never mentioned in the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, the Westminster Confession, the shorter catechism, the longer catechism, and certainly not the Barman Confession, because they invented it in 1830. Not in the Bible. But it's awfully appealing to think that you might be able to float out of this place and escape. But what is it really about, this ascension stuff? What does it really mean? I think it means three things, at least three things. First, it means that Jesus is not here. Jesus has left the building. He's risen from the dead, and now he's risen with the Father. He is gone from the earth. He doesn't reside here anymore. He lives in complete unity with the Creator, and he did not return to the Father as an escape because he never escaped anything while he was among us. Jesus lived a completely human life. He worked in a Nazarene wood shop, probably got a couple of splinters. He fell asleep in the back of a boat because he was tired, and he ate an awful lot of fish. He preached the truth. He healed the broken and the brokenhearted. He took nails in his wrists and feet for it, and he was mistreated just like all of God's prophets. Killing him was the great human mistake, says Luke. Raising him from the dead was God's work of justice. It confirmed that everything Jesus did was right and true. And now, as one of the kids pointed out so well, he's lifted up to the highest place of authority. He sits with God the Father, which is a way of saying he's not physically here. But the second thing it means is that Jesus is free to come back as often as he wants. Because there are stories of the risen Christ appearing on earth, both in Scripture and both from reports here and there around the world. The scholar Raymond Brown says that when Jesus comes after Easter, the appearances are always from heaven. He keeps returning again and again and again, and the purpose is clear. Just as heaven and earth were united in the person of Jesus Christ, heaven and earth have now been united and reconciled in the death and resurrection of Jesus. They've been brought together. And it is never our place to separate what God has joined together. So it's possible to discover the holy in the everyday. That's what this means. Christ is not here, but he keeps returning. That's what we mean by the Holy Spirit. When we invite you next week to come dressed in red, we ordain and install our officers, and we pray that they get all the help they need. And they'll need it. Jesus tells his friends to stay in Jerusalem until they are clothed with power on high. To state it another way, God will come and come again and again. And the way to stay with us, to stay with all who love Jesus, who return to him after pushing him away, and then who now receive his forgiveness. The same Jesus who once walked among us on two feet now rules over all of us. He's not done with us, and he's certainly not done with the world. So if Jesus is not here anymore, not in the way we once knew him, And if he is free as the Lord to come among us in the power of his Spirit, that means, third, there is work for you and I to do. In his physical absence, we are his hands and his feet. We speak his word with our tongues. We heal others in his mercy through our kindness. We continue his first century work in this 21st century world. We don't escape the world. We enter it more deeply. So what does that look like? Well, it's Mother's Day. There are mothers to cherish. There are women to lift up in dignity. That's a good part of our work. The Jesus we meet in the Gospel of Luke is one who honors women as equals in the human race in every way. He converses with them when the men of his time refused. He tells stories of women as the heroines of the stories. He speaks of God as a mother hen who wishes to gather all her chicks. He goes to a woman one day who is so bent over she can only look at her sandals, and he lifts her up, straightens her up, so she can now look around in God-given dignity. He welcomes the women who support his work out of their own pocketbooks. And on Easter morning, he goes first to the women to show them he is alive. My friends, if we celebrate Mother's Day by honoring the women in our lives, it's a good beginning and the continuing of the work Christ gives us to continue. As he honored women as equals, as children of God, we continue that work by letting all the women in our lives and everybody else know that they are cherished. There is no escape allowed. Not for those who love Jesus. Not for those who honor whom he honors. We are the living witnesses of what he did, what he began, what he continues through the likes of us, which I suppose is as good as any reason as to why we're here today, or we're here last week, or why we'll be back next week. Because we're part of an ongoing work called the gospel. God has put us in this place at this point in human history, to continue the gospel right here. In the places where we live and work, the Christ who is above us promises us the power to make the gospel real, here and now. So we keep at it. Years ago, I was in Sunday school. One of our teachers gave a true or false quiz after Easter. True or false, Jesus was raised from the grave. What do you think? True or false, Jesus is alive again. That's what I said too. True or false, Jesus lives with God in heaven. And then this question. True or false, after Jesus went up to heaven, his friends didn't have to go to church anymore. Well, that was and still is an intriguing question. I noticed that sometimes people after Easter do slip away for a while. So I answered, true, because I was a kid and I wanted that to be true. Jesus is with God in heaven. You don't have to go to church anymore. The teacher looked at me, said, Billy, read the last sentence in the Gospel of Luke. And I read, they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God. Period. There is no escape from the Lord who went up. There is no escape from the travails of Jerusalem, the crucifixions of this world, or the things that promise great joy. Jesus is not here. He comes back regularly from time to time. And there is great work for us to do. See you next Sunday.